on this festive as we gather in person, we're going to start off by realizing and experiencing your deep love for each one of us. Reminded that you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. And that's where we began. That's where we first started off with you. And we ask, Father, even as we journey with you, that you will help us continually realize that you did not spare your Son. You gave him for us, and you will freely with him give us all things. And even as we look into your word this morning, we ask that you would grant each of us a fresh revelation of your deep love for each one of us. And that you help each one of us to continually experience you, continually receive your love, and to overflow with your love in and through our lives, so that in all that we do, in all our ministries, that we will reflect your love to others. So help us, Holy Spirit, as we commit our time this morning to you, in Jesus' name, and everybody's praise. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, after you're going to go into your specific breakout groups, for this month, for today, and then next Friday is Good Friday, and then the subsequent two Fridays, we're going to look at this whole topic about experiencing God. You hearing me good? All right. I'm not hearing myself too well right here. Experiencing God. And we're going to look at Psalms 23. All right. We can read on the screen Psalms 23. Everybody on the count of three. One, two, three. The Lord. A wonderful psalm, all right? And in this psalm, there are seven redemptive names of God. And when we use the word redemptive, it means that that's how God relates with each one of us personally. We're going to unpack this slowly over the next 1 year or two, okay? We're going to go word upon word, line upon line. There's seven names. The first name is the Lord is my shepherd, my personal. He's my Jehovah Rohi, all right? Then secondly, I shall not want, I shall not be in need. He's my provider, my Jehovah Jireh. Thirdly, he leads me beside still waters. He's my peace, he's my Jehovah Shalom. Fourthly, he restores my soul. He's the healer, all right? He's Jehovah Rapha. And then after that, he leads me in paths of righteousness. We have to walk in paths of righteousness. This is the race he has marked out for us to run. This is the path of life where in his presence is fullness of joy. When you're walking in righteousness, when you are in righteousness, there'll be quiet, there'll be peace, there'll be shalom, all right? There'll be well-being. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is always with me. He never leaves me nor forsake me. We do not pray for his presence anymore. There must be a shift in your walk with God. Never pray for the presence of God. Acknowledge his presence. Start from there. Acknowledge his presence. So how do you pray? Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I'm in the market. Lord, I'm in this. Lord, this is a dangerous situation. Lord, I'm in the midst of this project. I'm struggling through. I thank you, you're here with me. Holy Spirit, would you unpack for me? Give me revelation. Connect with him immediately. Experience God. And let this be your goal, your objective. As you go through, as you work in terms of salt and light, or in the church, or in the admin, you must experience God. God must be a reality. Where is the presence of God? Always in a gathering of the people of God. Where is the presence of God? Always in a gathering of the people of God. If you're a daughter of God, you're a son of God, your body, your life is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jehovah Shammah. He never leaves you nor forsake you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's my Jehovah Nissi. I find my prayer change. Now I ask the Lord to send terror to the enemy of my spirit, soul, and body. That's what he did in the Old Testament. When Jacob with his children, they went to this village in Shechem. The Lord sent terror. When they were crossing the Red Sea, all right, the Lord sent terror among the Jerichoans. The Lord sends terror. If He can send terror, known and unknown, seen and unseen, He is our hedge of thorns. He's our hedge of protection. He's our wall of fire, okay? So today we're going to look at Jehovah Rohi. And there are three truths I want us to grasp. We need to know and experience His love. Secondly, we need to know and experience His leading. And thirdly, you need to know and experience His lordship. All right? Today, we'll just focus on His love. Okay? The subsequent Fridays, we're going to look at the other two. Firstly, the love of God. We need to establish certain principles right. How many of you have grown up in the church and you have leaders coming to you or pastors coming to you and pose the question to you, do you love God? Do you love God? None. Okay, you're well taught. None. You don't have people asking whether you love God. All right? Wrong starting point. Not that you love God. Okay? So, we must first receive and experience the love of God. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God. We don't start with, do we love God? Wrong starting point. And that has derailed a lot of Christians. We can never love God. None of us can love God. Not that we love God. Get this right into the core of our being. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The starting point is John 3:16. The starting point is when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because Jesus loved you, He died for you. He shed His blood for you. Nobody has ever died for you. He died for us. So we need a personal revelation. We need a personal experience of the love of God. Otherwise, what will happen is we will sink into religion. Religion, do's and don'ts. Then your work will be burdensome. Your ministry will be tiresome. All right? Because ministry is the labor of love. What Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, it is our labor of love. Whether you are an intercessor, whether you are trying to go through at 1 a.m. to solve a computer problem, why was the Wi-Fi down yesterday, whether you are trudging through a video, trying to edit it right, is the labor of love. And where is this love? It's from God. Okay? None of us can love God on our own. We must first experience His love. And why? The question is why? And this is because the origin of love, the fountain of love, the source of love comes from God. The source of life. The source of love comes from God. You go to the toilet, you turn on the tap. All right, you turn the tap, water comes from the tap. Where does the water come from? Where is the source? The half-inch pipe that links the tap that you turn on is linked to a 1 meter big pipe underneath the ground of the building that is linked to a larger pipe along the road, Bedok North Avenue 3. And I think it probably goes all the way to somewhere in Bedok Reservoir or MacRitchie Reservoir for this part, the eastern part of Singapore. And it's from MacRitchie or Seletar or in Jurong, in Pandan somewhere. It's linked to the reservoir, all right? So we need to know where love comes from. God is love. 1 John 4:16. And he who abides, find another word that helps you. He who is connected with God. He who remains with God. Then you are tapping into the source of the love, the source of the water. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Then the love of God can flow to you. If the tap in the toilet is not connected to the pipes and then link all the way to the source of the water, you get no water. You can turn on the tap to the fullest maximum level, there's no water. It must be connected. Same thing with your mobile phones. If you are not connected with your telco, whether it's Mobile, StarHub or Singtel, you will not get your Wi-Fi and your data. You must be connected. The key word here is connected. In our relationship with God, the key word here is abide. Dwell. Remain. If you're not remaining, you're not connecting, you're not going to get the love of God. Okay? So we can then love God as our response to Him because He first loved us. This order is fundamental. It is very important. We love Him because He first loved us. That's why we must experience His love. And whenever you're frustrated, whenever you're angry, whenever you find yourself cornered, all right, 1 week or 2 weeks ago, there was this young man in his 30s. He came to me. He cannot sing the songs that we have sung. We just sung about the goodness of God. He cannot sing. He's in the pits. He's in the financial industry. Everything is going wrong. He's losing money. And there's an acquirer of his company. And he's really scrambling. All right? He said, I can't sing the song. We sang Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Where is the Lord making over? He's been praying. He's been giving specific prayer items to his cell leader. His cell leader cannot respond to him. Don't know how to respond to him. All right? And when you are in the dark valley, that's why this psalm is so important. Knowing God personally is so important. It will carry you through. We love Him because, and we love God with the love that comes from Him. Because we have no love of our own. The love that we have is corrupted. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So we love God when the Holy Spirit pours the love of God. Let me see the next verse. All right. We can then love others with the love of God. That's right, Romans 5:5. See, the love of God is deposited into our hearts. This version, it is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the conduit. The Holy Spirit is the pipe, so to speak, that connects with Father God and pours the love of Father God into our spirit man. And that's how we experience His love. Therefore, if you're not connected, you're not abiding, you're not remaining, you're not dwelling with God, you're going to revert in the natural, in the flesh. All right? So we love God with the same love that comes from God, because it must be the love of God. Otherwise, and this is what happens. When we fail to experience and abide in the love of God, we will revert. What will happen? We will revert to our carnality, our natural life, which is corrupt and manifested in performance. You try to impress your boss, manifested in works, manifested in religious practices and self-indulgence. I've been a believer for 55 years. And I remember all through the years, all right, the elders will come. Do you love God? How come you're not at the prayer meeting? If you love God, how come you're not at this service? How come you're not this and that? Why are you late? This, that, and the other. Always about performance. Always the do's and the don'ts. Okay? Because our labor must be a labor of love. Therefore, Hebrews 6:1 says we must repent from dead works. We must go back to the source. All right? I made a remark here. For the Christian, every misbehavior is because he or she has failed to connect with God, to receive and manifest God's love in the situation. If you are married, sometimes there will be moments and times in the marriage where you feel like strangling your spouse. I don't know about you. I have thought about that. Over 42 years of marriage. Sometimes you get so angry and flustered. How come I married this woman? Sometimes you're wondering how come. And then your teenage daughter at 18 years old, who is rebellious and who it talks back at you. Some of you younger people, you look at your father, you look at a mother, right? Some of you may not have received your father's love. And that has been a hindrance. Because your father never really loved you. Yeah, he went to work, he provided salary, the 3 meals on the table. That's about all. You have not connected heart to heart with your father. It was very cold, arm's length, and that will hinder your experience of Father God. All these things, all right, all our earthly experiences will affect our receiving the Father's love. What is one test? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. This is a test. This is a measure. All right? It says, love is patient. Oh, this is the first one I failed already. I've shared openly over the years, I've been working on patience. Three things: patience, kindness, gentleness. I just talked about this at a secular organization yesterday. All right? Patience. Patience with certain people is very thin. With ordinary church member who comes to be prayed for, I have a lot of patience. All right? People have been telling them for the umpteenth time, I'm very short on patience. I need to work on that. Love is patient. Love is kind. Second one, I feel as well. My wife was just remarking to me, that day you listened to this guy, that lady, all right? Were you kind? Did you empathize? Uh-oh, I fail to empathize. All right? I just listened to it objectively. You're asking for me for an advice and opinion. I'm just thinking of this church that some of us are aware of. This pastor, I used to have coffee every Wednesday morning for years pre-COVID, all right? And after a while, it became meaningless. He just sat there and drink his coffee. Or we go for a meal, he just sit there, eat. We hardly communicate, all right? And we have sort of lost contact. Am I kind? It requires me to go the second mile, the third mile, okay? We can't do this for everybody. Thirdly, it does not envy. All right, I don't have a problem with this one. Envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. When you talk about some people, you know that the pastor, or you know that the leader or the writer, this person in mothership or motherhood, or whatever you call that, or you know this other writer or this other video, okay? It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. You heard of people over the years. I hear of people who claim themselves always to be this position or that position first. I'm the CEO of this company, and they are latching on to their title to hold on. Their self-esteem is embedded in their title. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Are you easily angered? It keeps no record of wrongs. I've shared this many before. There was a leader in this church, all right? He left the church, and then he remembered 16 years ago, the chairman elder said this about him, sort of rebuked him. The chairman elder has since passed on to be with the Lord, but he remembers that. Do you remember a record of wrongs? What somebody said to you, what somebody did with you? This is a test, all right? It says, love does not delight in evil, it rejoices with the truth. You don't compare. That's why we have this core value, no comparison, no competition. How do we encourage one another? It always protects. Do you protect each other in the same department? When somebody comes at you, when the enemy comes at one of us, he comes at all of us. Okay? Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. Well, or sometimes it fails. All right? So for the Christian, every misbehavior is because he has failed to connect with God. So what do you need to do? Confess, repent, bring the situation to God, connect with God again. And first, allow the love of God to embrace you, to forgive you, to heal you, and give you the strength, the energy to carry you through for that relationship. All right? We're going to go to our breakout group now, from now to 10. Okay? There are four questions. Thank Eunice for crafting these questions. All right? The first question is, how is your relationship with your earthly father? All right? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is disaster, 10 is excellent. 2, what hinders you from experiencing the love of Father God? I want to share with you, one of the best experiences every week is your corporate worship. And that's why I have BBTC, we've got 3 services. I will be present, all right? The message by the speaker is probably largely about the same, all right? After about 10% tweaking. But the worship is something I devote myself and discipline myself to go through the half an hour of worship. Because it is the time I connect with God, I abide with God, I remain with God. It's just me and God in the midst of the congregation. I want to encourage you to do that, all right? That's how you experience the love of the Father coming through again and again. So within a half an hour of 40 minutes of that corporate worship, allow the love of the Father to wash you over, to wash you, to cleanse you, to energize you, to reboot you, recharge you, reinvigorate you, rejuvenate you, whatever word you want to find, all right? Something happens to you spiritually. You will be changed. You'll be transformed. I'm just observing one pastor recently. He's moved on to the front now, all right, and trying to attend all 3 services, all right? He's not one of you in the midst. He's one of you in the midst. You find that the experience will be different, okay? What hinders you from experiencing the love of Father God? Share one time when you deeply experienced God's love. How did it shape your spiritual walk? Now, other than corporate worship, once in a while in my office, once in a while in my office at home, I work from home, all right, one-third of the time, there will be God moments. You read something, you lie down there, or not lying down, you think through, and as you meditate, and then you find that you are just connected with God. And then you just break down, all right, for that few minutes and so forth, and you just allow yourself to be loved by God. I'm talking about experiencing. All right, it's one thing to talk about the love of God, it's another to experience. 4th question, what are one or two practical ways of experiencing His love in this season on an ongoing basis that is sustainable day by day, week by week, month by month? All right, so we need that to sustain, and then from time to time, you have recharging moments. It's like a car battery. It runs most of the time. Moments of the week, you need to jumpstart the car, a jumpstart. So from time to time, some of us need this jumpstart from the Holy Spirit. All right, share with one another, encourage one another. You just try to stick to the same groups, all right? You've been assigned to your groups all the way through the year, okay? Where you can gradually open up to one another, trust one another. It should be confidential within your group as you love one another and pray for one another, okay? Now, your groupings are all done So you look at this chart, find out where you are, look for each other, own time, own target now. Okay? Any more instructions from... Yeah. All right? So you decide. So when you are loving one another, you try to meet and come regularly and not pontang. All right? If you're down to 2%, if you can carry on, you carry on. If you cannot, then you join another group of the same department or whatever. These are the names submitted by your whoever. Okay, you can go to your groups. You have the handout. The questions are in the handout. Okay.